Okay, welcome to the deep dive. We're about to really dig into your source material today.
That's right. We've got this document, Digital Transformation Strategy 2025.
And our aim really is just to pull out the absolute must-know insights, maybe some surprising bits, and the real actionable stuff from this strategy. It's all about, you know, the pressures, the tech, the plans needed for digital transformation, specifically looking at 2025.
Yeah, the goal is to get you informed quickly because the document, well, it stresses a real sense of urgency, a massive scale of change.
It really does. It talks about a burning platform right at the start.
Yeah.
So why the big rush? What's driving this pressure for 2025?
Well, fundamentally, it's saying the market's just different now. It demands speed. It demands decisions based on data and this intense customer focus.
And if you're slow, if you're stuck in old ways of thinking, you lose out?
Pretty much, yeah. The document says legacy thinking gets penalized. And look at the spending numbers. Worldwide digital transformation spend heading towards, what, $4 trillion by 2027?
That's huge.
Yeah.
But here's the kicker, right? The source says only a fraction of those projects actually deliver real, measurable value.
Exactly. Massive investment, but a lot of it potentially missing the mark, which leads into the specific pressures for 2025. First up, margin squeeze.
Okay, what's that about?
It's those big platform players, you know, they've kind of reset expectations. Everything's expected to be fast, often free. And that puts, well, enormous pressure on traditional business margins.
So how do companies fight back?
The document argues you've got to shift hard towards OPEX operational expenses, pay as you go rather than big capital outlays, and frankly, automate aggressively, cut costs wherever you can through automation.
Makes sense. OPEX and automation, what's the next pressure point?
The talent gap. This is a big one. The source throws out a stat, 78% of companies are already using AI.
78%? Wow.
Yeah, in like three different functions on average, so it's embedding itself really fast. But the question is, do you have the people who actually know how to work with this stuff? With the data.
The human element lagging behind the tech.
Exactly. So the pressure's on to upskill your current teams, like seriously, and hire people specifically for data literacy, people who get the data.
Right. And the third pressure, board scrutiny.
Yeah, especially with generative AI taking off. Boards see the potential, sure, but they're also seeing the risks, big compliance risks.
So they're asking tougher questions.
You bet. The document's clear. Responsible AI governance isn't a nice to have. It needs to be built in right from the start. Boards want accountability.
Okay, so margin pressure, talent gaps, board scrutiny. Put it all together. What's the bottom line if companies don't act?
The document's pretty blunt. It says delay equals decay.
Oof.
Yeah. Every month you wait, that gap widens the tech gap, the data gap, the culture gap. And closing that gap later, it gets exponentially harder, maybe even impossible.
Delay equals decay. That really hits home. It underlines why this urgency is so critical for you, the listener. It's about staying relevant, frankly.
Couldn't agree more. So, okay, that's the why now. Let's talk about the what. What's actually driving the change? The document calls out four forces reshaping every industry.
These are the big tech drivers, right?
Exactly. First, AI and machine learning, ML. This is enabling stuff like autonomous decision-making, predictive maintenance, knowing something will break before it does, and hyper-personalization.
Tailoring things right down to the individual customer.
Precisely. Then you've got cloud and edge computing. Think like infinite scale on demand, but also bringing that computing power closer to where it's needed at the edge for super low latency. They mentioned sub 10 millisecond response time.
Which is incredibly fast.
Yeah.
Essential for real-time stuff.
Totally. Third force. IoT, the Internet of Things, sensors everywhere, basically, delivering real-time data from the physical world, factory floors, supply chains, retail stores, right up to the C-suite dashboards.
Connecting the physical and digital. And the fourth.
Blockchain and Web3. The document frames this around trustless value exchange. So think transactions, interactions, without needing a central middleman. Trust is kind of built into the tech itself.
Okay, those are powerful forces. The document asks a really pointed question about this, comparing good companies and startups.
Yeah, it's a great point. It basically says, look, technology is incredibly powerful now and it's cheap to access. If a tiny startup, like two people, can rent supercomputer power for pennies.
How long can the giants rely on just being big?
Exactly. How long does too big to fail really hold up when innovation is democratized like that? The whole game is changing.
And that access fuels incredible speed. Tech adoption at warp speed, the document calls it.
Oh, the numbers are wild. Gen AI adoption jumps from, what, 33% in 2023 to 71% in 2024?
In 1 year. That's staggering.
It is. And big data tech spending, projected to triple between now and 2032, going from around $400 billion to over $1.1 trillion. Things are moving fast.
So if the tech and the market are moving at warp speed, what does that mean for planning? Annual strategies seem slow.
Obsolete, according to this document. Strategy can't be the static thing you do once a year. It needs to be a living roadmap, reviewed, tweaked, at least quarterly. You have to be that agile.
This really paints a picture for you of the tools out there and the sheer pace you need to be ready for. Okay, so we know why. We know what's changing. Who actually leads this transformation and how should they plan it? The document talks about different leadership roles.
Yeah. It makes a useful distinction between, say, the CIO, the CTO, and the CDO, Chief Digital Officer.
Right, the classic IT roles versus the newer digital one.
Exactly. So the CIO, traditionally, is focused on running reliable, secure IT, keeping the lights on, basically. Their KPIs might be uptime, cost per user, that kind of thing.
Efficiency and stability.
Mm-hmm. The CTO is usually looking more towards the future tech. What technologies are going to power the business down the road? Their KPIs might be around deploying reusable platforms, quickly time to deploy.
Building the future foundation. So where does the CDO fit?
The CDO asks a fundamentally different question. How do we grow and innovate using digital? Their main metric is often digital revenue. What percentage of sales comes from digital channels or products?
So they're focused on value creation.
Absolutely. The document pictures the CDO as the orchestrator, pulling together the vision, the tech, the people, like a conductor leading the digital symphony.
I like that analogy.
Yeah.
So how does this CDO or whoever's leading design a strategy that actually delivers results?
The source lays out a few key steps. First, align your efforts across three horizons.
Okay, what are the three horizons?
Think of it like short, medium, and long-term focus. Horizon one is about optimizing your core business now. Things like RPA, cloud migration for existing stuff, making today better.
Okay, H1, optimize.
Horizon 2 is about growing into adjacent areas, using digital to create new revenue streams close to what you already do. Think mobile apps, e-commerce channels.
H2, grow adjacencies.
And Horizon 3 is the really transformative stuff, disrupting the industry, creating totally new business models, platform businesses, offering AI as a service, that kind of thing.
H3, disrupt. You need a mix of all three.
Yeah, the document stresses balancing them. You can't just focus on the future and let the core crumble, or vice versa. Then, critically, you need data-driven prioritization.
Meaning?
Meaning, you don't just fund projects based on who shouts loudest. You build a decision matrix. Score ideas on things like customer impact, strategic fit, technical feasibility, and, importantly, time to value TTV.
How fast will the deliver results?
Exactly. And the document's pretty ruthless here. It says only fund the upper right quadrant winners, the ones that score high across the board. Be disciplined.
Focus the resources. Makes sense. And how do you track success once you're executing? What KPIs matter?
Several key ones. Digital revenue percent, obviously. Customer metrics like customer effort score, CES, or net promoter score, NPS. That time to value TTV metric. And innovation velocity may be measured by how many minimum viable products, MVPs, you ship per quarter.
And check these regularly.
At least twice a year, the source recommends. Keep a close eye on whether the strategy is actually working.
Okay, that gives you a good handle on the structure, the focus, the metrics for planning. But it's not just planning in tech, right?
Yeah.
The customer is central. The document had a sharp point about expectations.
Oh, yeah. This is crucial. It says something like, customers compare you to their last best digital experience, not your nearest competitor.
Wow. So you're not just up against others in your industry. You're up against Amazon, Netflix, the best apps on their phone.
Exactly. The bar is set by the best overall experience they've had anywhere. That completely changes the game.
So how do you build an organization that can meet that?
Yeah.
The document talks about being relentlessly customer-centric. Where does that start?
It starts with culture. You have to lead with it. The source even gives a timeline.
Oh, really? Like what?
Week one. Get the CEO to sign and publish a clear customer vision. Set that North Star. Week four. Run empathy workshops. Get employees to actually hear customer pain points directly. Week 12, tie bonuses, maybe 20%, to customer metrics like NPS or CES.
Putting your money where your mouth is.
Right. Hard code the behavior. Make customer focus part of the incentive structure.
Okay, culture first. What's next?
Harnessing unified data. This is where the customer data platform, the CDP, comes in.
Explain the CDP simply again.
Think of it as your customer data brain. It pulls in information from everywhere: website clicks, app usage, CRM notes, store purchases, support calls, everything.
All in one place.
Then the process is: ingest the data, analyze it using machine learning to find patterns and segments, and act on it, deliver personalized messages, next best actions, in real time, across any channel.
And the tip was treat data like a conversation.
Yeah, I loved that too. Ask better questions of your data, get richer insights, don't just collect it, engage with it.
Okay, so you've got the culture, the unified data.
Yeah.
How does that shape the actual experience?
Through designing seamless omnichannel journeys, you map out what the customer's trying to do at each stage. Discover stage, they want to learn fast. So good SEO, useful content, maybe TikTok.
Meet them where they are?
Exactly. Consider stage. They're comparing options. Make it easy. Chat bots, maybe AR demos, social proof-like reviews. Purchase stage. Make checkout fast. Wallet pay, buy now, pay later. One-click upsells.
Frictionless buying.
Right. Use stage. Help them solve problems quickly. In-app help. Automated diagnostics. Advocate stage. Make it easy and rewarding to share their success. Gamified referrals, user-generated content features.
It sounds like it needs to be consistent everywhere.
That's the key takeaway in the document. Consistency builds trust, and trust drives retention and loyalty. It has to feel like one company, one experience, no matter the touch point.
And you need to keep refining these journeys.
Constantly. That means continuous feedback loops. The source suggests a 5-step cycle. Capture the voice of the customer surveys, feedback forms, listening online. Prioritize the biggest pain points. Fix the root causes. Tell customers what you fix. Close the loop. And document what you learned.
Closing the loop seems really important.
It is. And they suggest holding regular CX Kaizen reviews, maybe quarterly. Always looking for ways to improve that experience based on feedback.
This really drives home why customer experience is so foundational for your digital success. Okay, let's shift to the tech that powers all this. The enablers.
Right, the tools that turn, as the document says, noise into knowledge and power, starting with data, analytics, and AI. It mentions building a modern data pipeline.
The infrastructure for data flow.
Exactly. The model is ingest where so a process serve. So ingest data from sources, maybe Kafka for streams, S3 for bulk data. Store it perhaps in a lakehouse, which combines data lake flexibility with data warehouse structure.
Best of both worlds.
Kind of, yeah. Process it using engines like Spark or Flink, maybe using GPUs for heavy AI lifting, and then serve it, make it accessible via APIs for apps or self-service BI tools for analysis.
That pipeline fuels the AI. What are some high-impact AI examples mentioned?
They link AI use cases directly to value, like predictive maintenance using IoT sensors cutting machine downtime by 40%, hyper-personalization driving up customer lifetime value by 15%, fraud analytics reducing losses by 60% through real-time detection.
Those are serious numbers, but AI isn't without risks. The responsible AI checklist.
Absolutely critical. Things like auditing training data for bias, using explainability tools, SAP, LIME, so you can understand why the AI decided something, having human oversight, human in the loop, for critical decisions, and monitoring for drift, making sure the AI stays accurate over time and retraining it.
Building trust in the AI itself.
Okay.
Next tech, cloud. Why cloud first?
Several big reasons. Elastic capacity scale up instantly for, say, a Black Friday sale, then scale back down. No buying servers you don't need most of the time.
Flexible.
Big time. Also, shifting from CapEx to OpEx. Pay for what you use, which can be better for cash flow. And a huge one, release velocity. Using cloud-native tools, DevSecOps pipelines, you can push out updates way faster, sometimes cutting cycle times from months to days.
Speed again. But it's not just one cloud fits all, right? How do you choose?
No, you architect the right footprint. Got unpredictable demand spikes. Public cloud with auto-scaling is great, handling super-sensitive, regulated data like PII, maybe a private cloud, or keep data on-prem but use cloud analytics tools. Need global reach or want to avoid being locked into one vendor? Hybrid or multi-cloud might be the answer.
Matching the cloud model to the specific need, what KPIs should you track for cloud success?
The doc suggests 4. Cost per transaction, are you efficient? Deployment frequency, how fast are you shipping? Post-release defect rate, are you stable? And crucially, revenue from cloud-native products, is it enabling new value?
Good metrics. Okay, moving on to IoT, the Internet of Things.
Yeah, the scale here is just exploding. Over 13 billion enterprise IoT connections in 2025, apparently, and growing fast, 14% CAGR towards 2030. It's becoming the nervous system for physical operations.
Where is it making the biggest difference? Use cases.
Lots of examples across industries. Manufacturing. tracking equipment effectiveness, OEV, predicting quality issues, supply chain, ensuring cold chain compliance for sensitive goods, live ETAs for shipments, retail, dynamic pricing on shelves, analyzing shopper traffic patterns, healthcare, monitoring patients at home, automating initial triage.
So real-time data driving smarter physical operations. What about securing all those billions of devices?
Huge consideration. Governance is essential. The document highlights things like zero trust segmentation, don't trust any device by default, verify everything, end-to-end encryption, over-the-air, OTA, patching for security updates, and proper device lifecycle management, know where your devices are, and manage them securely from start to finish.
That makes sense. Finally, blockchain and Web3. The document connected this to trust at machine speed.
Right. It's moving beyond just crypto hype. The source says over 80% of the Fortune 500 are piloting blockchain, looking to cut friction and fraud.
So practical enterprise uses, where's the impact?
Areas needing shared trust. Finance. Cross-border payments, cutting fees maybe 40%, settlement time down to minutes, healthcare, immutable patient records, a single source of truth, supply chain, tracking product provenance, fighting counterfeits.
Solving specific business problems. What's the checklist for rolling out enterprise blockchain?
Key steps include selecting a permission ledger, not public, you need to know who's participating. Connecting it to real-world data via oracles. Templatizing smart contracts for reusable business logic. And importantly, monitoring the energy use favoring efficient proof of stake, POS, over proof of work. PayW.
Okay, that covers the key enabling tech. It's clear how interconnected they are and why understanding them is vital for you. So we have the why, what, who, planning, customer-focused tech. How do you actually make it happen? Execution, culture.
This is where the rubber meets the road. The document pushes hard for lean startup principles, but applied in a large enterprise. Forget slow, traditional waterfall projects.
Too slow, too much waste.
Exactly. It's all about fast cycles. Build, measure, learn.
Explain that loop again.
Build an MVP, minimum viable product. The smallest possible thing to test your core idea. Get it out quickly, maybe to under 500 customers in, say, 90 days. Measure its impact using real data validated learning. Forget vanity metrics. Focus on what matters. Then, based on the data, learn and decide. Pivot, change direction, or persevere, double down.
Only fund the next step based on evidence.
Precisely. And the benefit. The source claims firms doing this boosted innovation throughput by 35% year on year. Faster learning, less waste.
Who does this lean work?
Small, dedicated cross-functional squads. You bring together product, marketing, ops, legal, IT, everyone needed into one team. They work in short sprints, maybe 2 weeks, show their work often, like Friday demos. And the CDO typically owns the overall backlog to keep things aligned strategically.
Empowered teams moving fast. What kind of leadership supports that?
It needs a shift. Lead with curiosity, ask questions, coach your teams, don't just command them. And tell stories with data, make the numbers meaningful and motivating.
How do you encourage people to take risks, to experiment, when failure is possible?
You have to make it safe to fail smart. Celebrate the learnings from experiments that didn't pan out, publicize those smart failures, and maybe appoint internal tech ambassadors to champion these new ways of working.
Okay, culture and lean methods are key. What about the bedrock of risk and security?
Absolutely foundational, not an afterthought. The document emphasizes things like zero trust architecture, verify everything, always. Privacy by design, build privacy controls into development from sprint one. Continuous monitoring, use AI to spot anomalies fast.
Proactive security.
Yes, and even things like chaos engineering, intentionally trying to break things in controlled ways to test resilience. Be prepared.
And ultimately, you have to prove this all works. Back to KPIs.
Yep, proving the ROI. Digital revenue growth. Customer satisfaction via CES NPS. Time to value showing speed. Employee adoption of the new digital tools. And that innovation velocity metric. Dashboard these, slice them by cohort, persona, channel, to really understand what's driving value.
That covers execution, culture, risk, and proving value for you. So where do you start? The document suggests a concrete path forward.
It does. It proposes a 90-day acceleration roadmap. Get some quick wins, build momentum, turn the hype into actual results fast.
A 90-day sprint. What's on the checklist for that?
Publish that CEO-backed customer vision. Start building the foundation for your customer data platform, CDP. Map 3 key customer journeys, those moments that matter. Launch one quick win, maybe an omni-channel improvement on one journey. Set clear NPS-CES targets. And importantly, celebrate that first win publicly.
Build belief and momentum. That's very actionable. Does it look beyond 2025 at all? Future trends.
Briefly. mentions things like emotion AI tech trying to read sentiment, Web3 loyalty tokens may be portable, customer-owned rewards, edge-native CX experiences running right on the device for speed, and synthetic data for training AI while protecting privacy.
Interesting things on the horizon. So, wrapping up this deep dive into the Digital Transformation Strategy 2025, what's the final word?
The final call to action is pretty stark. Start today because tomorrow's margin is already priced in.
Wow. Tomorrow's margin is already priced in. No time to waste. And it leaves us and you with one last question to ponder.
Yeah, the very last line asks, will you surf the wave or study the surf from underwater?
Will you surf the wave or study the surf from underwater? Definitely food for thought after digging into this strategy.
Absolutely. Hopefully breaking down the source material has given you the insights and actionable ideas you were looking for.
We certainly hope so. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Always good to talk it through.
That's all for this deep dive.